dude, man, it was just amazing.
Yeah.
I wonder if
I like Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan is a really cool guy.
I wonder if Joe Rogan, they still had a bit of a show since Joe was already there. Like, are we still going to do a show or everybody is going to cancel it?
If I was Joe, I'd be like, hey, I'm not the one with COVID. I could go on.
Right?
Yeah.
So, speaking of our other celebrity deaths, the one who just passed away was Cameron Hank Aaron, the all-time... He's the one who dethroned the Babe on the home room runs. And the concerns from healthcare professionals is that his death isn't going to deter other people from getting the vaccine. Apparently, Aaron got the vaccine on January 5th, the Moderna vaccine, on January 5th, the first dose. And so there's going to be, you know, and that is a real concern. There's a lot of people who are leery about getting vaccinated. I saw something that, you know, and they're not saying that this is necessarily that his death was attributed to him getting that vaccine, but the coincidence of it being so close is going to have a lot of people who are leery about getting, I mean, I think, I don't know, there's a lot of us, we've talked about us being really leery about getting the vaccines ourselves because it's been too soon. And anytime you find somebody like this who gets that vaccine and then passes away shortly afterwards or has any kind of health issues that they think they can attribute or some way connect to that COVID vaccine, it just gets even more in the fever about not wanting to get the vaccine. Like, see, I told you it didn't kill you. It killed the home run king. It killed the home run king. Don't get it. And so it's not even necessarily that they're the same thing, but it's one of those things that makes you wonder. I mean, like, I personally am hesitant about getting it. If somebody said, Marianne, we can give you the vaccine right now, I'd be like, you've got to talk to me in about a year.
Dude, and I've been saying this for
a lot of people. Like,
I took it.
I've been saying this for.
Did you?
I did. The hospital offered it to all city employees. They classified us as essential personnel, so they gave it to us, you know. So, yeah, I had it about 2 weeks ago. So,
the no first dose, and then
no foaming at the mouth. You know.
Yeah. And that's just it, though, is that the other thing that they're doing right now is that I think that they're trying to do a lot of reverse psychology on us because they're talking about how there is a shortage of the vaccine. And so now they're trying to push it that there's a shortage of the vaccine. So if you have that option, you need to run in and go get it. Get it, buy it, get it now while you still can. And so there's kind of the talk about how is it that all of a sudden we went from having all these vaccines, and I get it that it does have a shelf life, but we're going from having all these vaccines that we're trying to get vaccinated, and now all of a sudden we don't have enough vaccines to get out. And so people, you know, let's see if we can't whip people into a feverish pitch to come get this vaccine as kind of a reverse psychology type thing.
I think that they're really just trying to get everybody to that they can to take it, because until we can get 80 to 90% of the population herd immunity, whereas if you've had it and we can prove that once you've had it, you can't catch it again, or if you take the vaccine, then we're going to be stuck with the masks forever. We're going to be stuck with the social distancing and all. So they're trying to get as many people as they can to take it. Another thing that I learned was we were given the Moderna shot, is what we were given, and there's 10 shots per vial. Once that vial has been punctured, taken out of the freezer and punctured, it has to be used. It can't be put back in the freezer. So they're trying not to waste any of them too. So that's one of the things. we're having trouble getting them out here for the general public too. I think Eastland got 500 shots maybe, and that doesn't include our nursing homes. That doesn't include Cisco nursing homes, Ranger nursing homes. That doesn't include all those either. So really, in my opinion, nursing homes and the hospitals are the ones that should have gotten all the first shots. But I'm not the expert, so.
Right. And, well, the other thing that I'm hearing that's kind of a challenge also is that they do have a certain number of these vaccines. However, they don't have people that are trained on how to administer them. It's taken like a 4-hour training. So they're actually in Seattle, some of the different things that I've been hearing is that they're actually partnering up with like Amazon and some of these other different places. And I'm kind of thinking, you know, and dentists, they're looking at partnering up with dentists because dentists do give shots. And right. So to take that 4-hour training, it takes 4 hours to train them how to give them the COVID shot.
I don't understand that. I mean, it's a shot.
You know, that's just it. Well, I think it's what they're talking about that it takes so long is on the proper handling of the medicine itself, how okay. to bring it out, what temperature it needs to be kept at. Like even when you're doing like a needle, you have to make sure that when you are, you know, because there's several different places that you can give a shot. You can give the shot under the skin, you can give the shot into a vein, or you can give the shot into a muscle. And where you're administering that shot, it also depends on how your body's going to react if there's like any kind of air bubbles in it. If you have an air bubble in a shot that you're administering to a vein, that can be deadly.
Right.
Right. As opposed to if you have an air bubble in a shot that you're administering into your buttocks, that's not going to be as deadly because it's going into a muscle, but it is going to be very painful. Right. And if you're not putting it in properly, then if it needs to go into a vein, but you don't hit the vein, it could be something that will bubble under the skin and it's not going to get absorbed into the body properly. I mean, so I can understand kind of that part, but I think that,
yeah.
you know, giving the shot itself isn't a 4-hour thing, but it's got to be the handling of the medicine and how you're actually putting it into the syringe and everything else.
Okay. I don't know. I just think it's, you know, this whole COVID thing has just fucked the world up.
It's not just the having to wear a mask. It's getting so, a lot of, it's wearing, it's what they call, it's like pandemic fatigue. You know, every single day is something different. We're grinding and it's getting so, it's grinding us down because it's so difficult. We can't, when we're having a hard day, we can't go do the things that we typically do. Some people will go to the gym and work out. Some people go to the mall, go shopping.
Maybe we go to the bars.
Right? You try on a ton of clothes and you buy nothing. Or you go to the bars or you go to the park and, you know, play in the park, you go take a walk on the waterfront. There's all these different things that people do that would help them deal with struggles of emotional times that we can't do right now. We don't have those same outlets. And even being able to go hang out with all your friends, you know, there's always that anxiety and fear underneath about, well, geez, where have they been? You know, and like I said, it's like you're going to an orgy without a condom and somebody's got AIDS. You're hoping that when you go hang out with your friends, that they aren't the ones that get you sick.
Do you think that if we hadn't been in the middle of this pandemic during the election and the follow-up after the election, do you think there'd been so much animosity and screaming and yelling at each other? I think that played a big part into it.
No.
I think
everybody was separate. And that's The Shining. Anybody ever watch The Shining?
Yeah.
The movie with Jack Nicholson.
It's all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
Right. And one of the things, if you've ever, like I grew up in the backwoods. I grew up 40 miles from the nearest town, no rain, water, indoor plumbing, electricity, all that happy horse shit. And deep deep backwoods, and we used to get a lot of snow. And you do, you start, when you get locked up, you start getting stir crazy. You have no, and you, there's no place for you to go. And it's very frustrating and it's aggravating. You want to do things, but you literally cannot. And so when you have the entire world locked down like that, you know, like a lot of times when those breaks get to be like, you know what, screw, I found plane tickets to go to one of the islands outside of the Bahamas for a round trip from Seattle, $430 to go to this beautiful tropical island. And I'm like, we can't go.
Yeah.
Why? Because you know what? Because of COVID. I can't go do some like once in a lifetime vacation like this. I was supposed to have gone last year. I was supposed to go to Ireland. This year I was supposed to be going to Okinawa. And I'm not able to do any of that stuff. Why? Because of the pandemic. Nobody can leave. And it's not just like, we can't just get out of it from here and go somewhere else and get away from our troubles. It's worldwide. And I think that it permeates the air. It permeates the environment and it permeates everything around us, that overwhelming sense of oppression and depression. And so it's just a powder keg waiting to be set off. It's because people are, they're not necessarily mad at that situation. They're mad at the overall world in general, the whole situation that we're dealing with. And so anything that ignites that has a combustible effect, not just on that person, but all the people around them. And that's where it gets all that enragement. People are storming, you know, they were talking about they stormed the Capitol because, you know, you can't keep these people oppressed for so long. And I'm sitting here thinking, how the fuck were you middle-aged white people oppressed? But, you know, I mean, it's like, seriously, they're like, and that poor Mr. Trump, he just had to put up with so much. No other president ever had to put up with what he put up with. And I'm like, these are delusional people. But everybody finds that their one little bone to hang on to, and they start like chewing it. And then they feel that somebody tried to take that bone away from them. Somebody tried to take their little, you know, and that's all that I had. And you're taking it away from me. And I'm not going to stand for this. And so then everybody starts like throwing down. And people, no matter what you say about humans, we are still animals. Yeah. We're animalistic in nature. We will still have animalistic instincts. And we will still act as animals. Individual people are fine. But when you get people in groups and a crowd, and that's why they say that mob mentality, because you get, especially when you've already got people who are on the ragged edge of depression and psychosis, and like they're ready to just explode, it gives them a sense of purpose that they're doing something that they believe in, whether it's right or wrong, it's something that they feel that they believe in, and it gives them a way to express all of that anxiety and depression and anger and all those negative emotions that they had no other way of processing in a positive way. You can't even go swimming, you know, you can't do anything. And so this is something, you can't go play basketball out at the court with your friends where you get to like jab somebody in the face. It's a little bit of aggression. Bam. Okay.
I think she froze.
I think so.
And some friends that they, you know, a lot of their friends, there was a kid that they all went to school with that they knew. The kid's parents kicked him out. He had cerebral palsy, had a lot of different issues. And they said that he started getting into it a bad way. He started really getting into drugs and going really south. And he got hit and killed by a train last week. And they don't know if it was suicide or if it was just that he was high on drugs. And I told the kids, I said, you know, this is something that's definitely like in my thoughts that this is something that is contributed to 2020, because you have somebody who's having all these crises that they have no place to go. They have no place to go. Murder rates are tripled. Yeah. Murder rates have been tripled. Drug use has astronomical, alcohol use through the roof. All these things, people are trying to cope because they don't have any healthy coping skills. They're trying to do anything they can to cope. Obesity, everybody, you hear about that COVID-20. I mean, hell, I think I don't even want to know how much I put on. Yeah. All I know is the last time I got on the scale, I stepped on the scale, and my scale said, bitch, get off.
I can't breathe.
Yeah, and so it's one of those things, and you're like, you know, you're like, I'm going to lose this money. Because it's heartbroken, because I saw what you said. It hurt my feelings. You know, I mean, all these, you know, there's been a lot of overeating because comfort food. I mean, I don't know about you, but yes, mac and cheese. I will fuck up some mac and cheese when I'm needing that comfort food, right? You know, I'm not going for the celery and the broccoli and carrots unless I'm dipping it into my ranch dressing. You know, I mean, these, because there's all these things that we're trying to do. Nobody taught us how to have healthy coping skills in a pandemic. Right. Nobody said, hey, by the way, you know what, Terry, we're going to have this pandemic and it's going to kick the whole world's ass. So here's what we need to do. Like these people, these survivalists who built all these bunkers to survive nuclear war, none of them were told how to survive a biological kind of war. And it is a biological kind of war, whether it was Mother Nature saying, get off my back, you ticks, or like that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, for me, I mean, it almost seems like business as usual. I think the one thing that I could say that I miss is, you know, we're just talking about going out to concerts earlier. I miss going out to concerts. You know, I miss going to the movies. I miss, there's certain, like right now, a lot of activities are being, right now, at least here in New York, you know, like last night, I went to have dinner and it was kind of, I mean, it was, you know, everybody was social distance and I was able to, you know, have a drink and have my meal and all that. And I was like, okay, this is kind of cool, you know, backyard patio kind of a thing. So that was fine. But the thing is, it's like now at this point, I kind of feel like I am grateful for the things that I'm at least allowed to do, you know, like go to dinner, like I could still go to the park if I wanted to, or, you know, go drink, but, you know, socially drink, you know, somewhere or anything. I mean, there's not a lot we could do even here, but I mean, I work 6 days a week, so weekends are meaningless with the things that are not going on here. You know, I'm just glad that, you know, I could, like, I'm glad for sports. I could sit down and watch football or what have you. I miss going to games. You know, I miss being able to go out and watch a football game or a basketball game, you know, but it seems like I do take comfort in the fact that certain things are happening. So it's not like we're completely dead. Like, I think if we would have foregone this football season, I would have lost my fucking mind. Like, I would have just been like, are you serious? But I think with a lot of things that are happening now, like I said, with sports, even NASCAR, like there are some things that we could, used to distract us at least, because I will say this, it has been a crazy 5 months, you know, with the election, with the COVID. They're like, you can't go a day without hearing about COVID, you know, and I do have COVID fatigue. Like sometimes I just want to sleep all day and not have to, you know, deal with it. But you know, one of the things that Biden had talked about was his first 100 days in office. He wanted everyone to wear a mask. And I'm not going to lie. Am I tired of masks? Yes. But like I said before, I will wear these motherfuckers well into July of this year if it means that it's going to keep me from getting sick and whatnot. I don't have an issue with that. But my issue is, well, my issue was because, you know, now I don't care anymore. People are going to do whatever they want to do. Yeah. You don't want to wear a mask? Great. I don't care. The other day, somebody came up to me, like I was working, and then some guy came up to me by my truck, and he came a little bit too uncomfortably close to me, so I backed up a little bit, and then he came a little forward, and then I backed up a little bit more, and then he kind of came a little closer. I was like, hey, how about you stop right there? Because he wasn't wearing a mask. I was like, you stay right there. State your business. You know what I mean? Like don't. Yeah. And I don't think he realized that I was backing up because he wasn't wearing a mask or, you know, or anything like that. And he was just like, oh yeah, I'm sorry. I'm like, I'm like, I'm sorry, you're not wearing a mask. I'm wearing a mask. You stay over there. What's the problem? And he was just asking for directions. And I was like, oh, you know, it's that way, you know. And then he apologized and then just kept moving. You'll be surprised how many times people will just approach other people, especially me for that matter. No mask, no sort of, you know, I had one guy approach me and I backed up and he saw my mask and he was like, oh shit. And then he took his mask out of his pocket, put it on. And I was like, okay, yeah, now we can have a civil discussion. But I think what it ends up being at the end of the day, and again, this is something that you talk, you know, you have your maskers and anti-maskers. You have people saying, oh, Biden is taking our freedoms away. And I'm like, really? He's trying to keep you alive, jerk off. Like, you know, it's the whole seatbelt law all over again. Like, why should I wear a seatbelt? Because it's going to protect you from flying through your windshield and saving your family money on getting a funeral ready for you. That's why you should wear a seatbelt, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's a safety issue. I am at a point where I feel like I've come accustomed to the new world order now. You know, because again, if our great great grandparents or our grandparents got through the Depression, I mean, come on, with all, and mind you, we're talking about the 30s, you know, the 20s and the 30s. If they could get through the Great Depression, I feel like, I mean, with the New Deal, haha, see what I did there. I don't know. I feel that Biden might. He's not going to solve all of our issues, but I think he's already being condemned by the other side because they're like, well, when do we start holding them responsible for deaths? Well, first of all, when did you guys hold Trump responsible for the 400,000 deaths anyway? When did you guys hold them responsible? I didn't hear you guys bitching then. You know what I'm saying? You're bitching now because we have a new administration who's trying
to... Well, it's because it's the other side, see?
No, exactly. No, you're right, Terry. You're right. It is the other side. You know, and here's another thing that I have. We were talking about we have a shortage of the vaccine here in New York. Like, our governor's head's about to fucking explode. My issue is this. Forget, we have a shortage of vaccine, but what about the people who are cutting the line? What about the people who went to these big Trump rallies, these super spreaders, and then they are like, oh, I believe that I deserve to get the vaccine. Slow down, Turbo. You weren't even thought of as far. I mean, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. All of a sudden, you followed your president's mindset. Oh, it's a hoax. I'm not wearing a mask, to a point where you need a vaccine. I think if you bitched about having, I think if you bitched about the mask situation during the Trump administration, and you should be in the back of the line for the vaccine. You shouldn't even the word I want and vaccine should not even be in the same sentence. You don't deserve, I'm not saying you don't deserve it, but you shouldn't be in line. You should be in the back of the line with everybody else.
I think anybody who's denied the thing was real should be like not allowed to get it right away. I think anyone who's ever been an anti-vaxxer should not be allowed to have their COVID.
I think if you're an anti-masker, if you're an anti-masker, you've been to a bunch of Trump support rallies and you had something to do with that Capitol building, you shouldn't even know. You're going to put you in the back of the line. You know what I'm saying? That, and I think that's what we should do. And another thing is people are traveling to other states to jump in front of the line to get the vaccine. There was a story in Florida where people were going down there and their driver's license didn't even match a Florida address, mind you. And they were trying to jump the line and they're like, wait, hold on a second. If you do not have the proper credentials, you shouldn't even be in this line. You cannot jump the line like that. And that's what people are doing.
Right.
So that's another issue that, you know, that I've been having. You can't bitch about, oh, it's a fake. And then get the vaccine. No. First of all, if you can admit to yourself that you were wrong, then maybe, you know, hey, admit that you were wrong. At least do that. Hey, I thought the vaccine was a hoax. Boy, was I fucking wrong. Inject me here. You know what I'm saying? So. No, but
I think that the best way for those people to get their COVID-19 vaccinations is through a suppository.
Oh, I would
absolutely. I was going to say, or shoot them in the butt.
Or just give them heroin. I mean, whatever, right? Just be like, you're gonna feel funny for the next 4 days.
You'll feel great for the first half hour, but then you'll spend the rest of your life trying to get that high again.
No, it's just, I mean, and it's just, I kind of think it's just unfair. I kind of think that this whole thing is just, it just bugs me because, A, you know, I kind of feel like, I mean, the people that are not thinking rationally, like the people that sit there and talk about, well, it was rigged. I'm like, first of all, it's in your mind as a Trump supporter, it's rigged because he fucking told you it was rigged. And that's it. That's the bottom line. You know what I'm saying? He told you it was rigged and you believed it. And now you look stupid. Like, I'm sorry. Anybody who actually believed.
He said it 6 months before the election that it was going to, the only way he'd lose is if it was rigged.
And I'm like, wow, you really think, and on top of that, I'm like, you really think you're that loved in America? I mean, yes, you are. Half of the country loved, a little less than half of the country voted for you. But the fact that he looked at optics like, oh, he didn't have enough people in his, you know, at his rallies. Well, it wasn't a rally competition. I saw his fucking speeches. It was him by himself next to like a Denny's, for crying out loud. Just, you know, just doing his speeches. He wasn't trying to attract people to his speeches. As far as we're concerned, hey, stay the fuck home.
That's like, exactly right. And that's what he said.
I'll do this from here. All I need you to do is just vote for me. I'll do this from right here. You stay home. Watch me on television. You don't need to be at these rallies. But meanwhile, Trump is sitting there. Oh, you've seen our rallies. This is going to be good for us. We're going to win. Our rallies are super big. And that's all Trump cared about. Yeah. He cared about that ego. You know what I'm saying? It's that ego. And that's what kept him going. You know what I'm saying? And on top of that, it took five people to die at a riot for you to realize that you fucked up? I mean, somebody had to say something to him. Like, hey, five people have died because of your cause. Five people had died because they believed in what you said. They stormed the Capitol building while you were in a bunker somewhere. You know, you didn't come out, and he didn't even and the funny thing about what bugs me about Trump is he condemns things way after. Like, it's almost
after he's shamed into doing it.
It's almost as if he doesn't know the difference between right and wrong until days later.
Well, it's because then his people tell him, oh, that was wrong. So now you need to say that was wrong.
Now you need to go out there and do
speeches
a speech.
Of his was bullshit.
Well, first
I heard
every speech he's done has been bullshit. I've never felt every speech that he's ever done. I've never felt there was a sense of peace. Everybody keeps talking about, oh, well, Biden's dividing the country. I'm like, please stop saying this shit without showing me your work. Every speech that Biden has done, he's condemned violence. He has condemned division. Oh, but he's not. You're just mad because he's not on. You don't feel that he's on your side. I would love to know why people love Trump so much and were willing to risk their lives for this guy. I don't understand it. You know, I don't even think Clinton had this much, you know, support. You know, Bush didn't even have this much support. Like,
no.
Oh, well, Trump is the anti-politician. I'm like, I'm sorry. He's a fucking politician. As a matter of fact, he's just an unproven politician and a reality TV star who has never held public office. So please tell me why is he so great?
Because he's a used car salesman, and he sold them a plot of land out in the swamp. That's
the swamp that he promises to drain.
Yeah.
Right.
I never understood that logic. And you know what? I swear to one day we are going to get a Trump supporter on here, even though it'll be a moot point now because he's not in office. But I would like to know what's the big deal? What was the big deal? You know. I don't know.
I think it's funny that the people that they're starting to bust for the Capitol thing now are more and more of them are saying they went there because he told them to go there. So.
No, someone actually said the other day, and I don't know if this is true now because I've never looked into it, but someone said that there were fewer deaths in the Benghazi attack than there was on the Capitol. There's five deaths at the Capitol, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, roughly five.
Yeah. And I'm looking now on the Wikipedia article, and it only lists four names.
Benghazi? Well, that's probably true.
Yeah. That's one thing that I've always heard people bring up when why they voted for Trump the first time. Well, Benghazi, oh, on the email servers, let's not forget the email servers.
Yeah.
Well, he's supposed to be impeached like next week. Like,
yeah, Monday they're delivering the article of impeachment.
Yeah, so
but it's gonna they've delayed the hearing, the trial for 2 weeks because they want to help Biden get his cabinet all appointed and done, and give Trump's legal team long enough time to look at everything.
Yeah. I believe there's supposed to be 17 Republicans that's supposed, 17 Republicans are supposed to side with the impeachment.
Well, it will take 17.
Yeah, so.
A minimum of 17.
We had
10 that voted for the impeachment. So they need to pick up 7 more if those 10 will stay.
I'm just going to fast forward to the future now, as far as this question goes. Do you believe that Trump is going to serve jail time, or do you think that he's going to be in a minimum ankle bracelet kind of thing going on? What do you think his ultimate sentence would be?
For the impeachment?
For the impeachment. He
won't serve any jail time on the impeachment. They'll just convict him and declare that he's ineligible to run for political office in the United States for the rest of his life. That's what they want.
Yeah.
They don't really want him in jail. They want that. That's what I want. I don't care if he's in jail. I want him to never be able to run for office again.
Well, look at his track record. I mean, the way that I look at it is this. Number one, you don't put somebody who has had multiple failed businesses to run a country.
Yeah.
Like, he's had multiple failed businesses. He has multiple failed casinos in Atlantic City.
Yeah.
You know, as a matter of fact, I think some of them still have Trump Tower written on them, but they're just abandoned. You know,
yeah.
So number one, probably don't vote for somebody who's bad with dealing with something like that. Number two, do you vote for somebody who's been married 3 times? Like, what does that tell you? I just kind of find it hard to believe that you would vote for somebody who's been, that just says something, you know?
Right.
This guy's been married 3 times. He's got multiple failed businesses. The only thing that won't even release his taxes, you know, and when he does release them, it's like people talk about, China's going to be we're going to be owned by China soon. I'm like, you guys are glossing over the fact that Donald Trump paid $188,000 to the Chinese government, yet you're worried about Biden and his ties to China. Like, people are they the thing that upsets me, well, that doesn't upset me because most people are idiots, but people they'll say one thing and then when you bring up the other thing, it's like, oh, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm mm-hmm. like, well, it's well known. You know what I'm saying? He's only paid very little taxes here, and then he's paid he's paid a lot more money to China, but yet you're worried about his relationship, Biden's relationship with China, that we're going to be owned by China. People have told me, well, get used to having high gas prices. Motherfucker, I take the bus to work. I don't buy gas. I take the train to work. So it's like, next argument, please. Like, that doesn't affect me. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. It's just and the weird thing about it is I've had friends that are Trump's. Well, I say friends loosely because now it's like we don't talk anymore because, you know, I have a platform and they feel like I'm like this is the anti-parlor platform that we have. But at the same time, like I say, I wouldn't mind having a Trump supporter on the show to hear their side. I wouldn't mind that at all. But at the same time, don't piss in my face and tell me it's raining, you know, like.
Right.
So I don't know. You can hear me. Great. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but there's actually somebody who is trying to start articles of impeachment for Biden.
Oh, yeah. That's that QAnon
Yep. So the Congresswoman and QAnon supporter Marjorie Taylor Greene announces articles of impeachment against Biden.
Abuse of power.
Yep. The accusations were a major talking point during the 2020 election and have been largely discredited, saying that Biden they're accusing him of engaging in a quid pro quo with Ukraine. One day afterwards, she announced that she was introducing the articles of impeachment against him. And she made waves even before she joined Congress, given her support for the far-right QAnon conspiracy theory, her claim that the school shooting in Parkland, Florida was a hoax, and her long history of racist and anti-Semitic beliefs. So she made a statement released Thursday, Greene, who represents Georgia's 14th congressional district, said President Joe Biden is unfit to hold the office of the presidency. His pattern of abuse of power as President Obama's vice president is lengthy and disturbing. So yeah. When they're talking about, like, and I find it interesting because I read how people were talking about how Trump, the day he was inaugurated, people were already trying to start his impeachment, how all these Democrats refused to go to his inauguration. There was all these other, you know, he just started out from the get-go that everybody hated him. I mean, he had such an unsurmountable mountain of hardships that he had to overcome. It still astonishes me how many people, when I see all the things that Trump has done with his power and in his presidency, it shocks me that so many people still support him.
Yeah.
And I think that, they overlook the evil that he's done because of what little good they think he's done.
Oh, except for the Proud Boys, they dumped him.
Well, they did now because, you know, he didn't pardon them. Like, what? You were supposed to pardon us. What? You said, stand by, and we did, and then we went, you told us to go storm the Capitol, we did, and then you didn't pardon us anymore. What?
You sold us out, man. You sold us out.
And they're trying to say that, well, you know, it's not Trump's fault. I actually talked to a couple of people, and I have actually a Trump supporter who I could get on the show if you want.
I think he's kind of a QAnon too.
He's a QAnon too. And so
even better. Even better.
Yeah. And so he was like, well, yeah, they stole the election, but it is what it is. And I'm like, wow. And so when I kind of like was saying some of the different things, I equate the QAnon people to flat earthers, and it just kind of blows my mind that these people, I just kind of sit back and go, wow, what the hell is in that Kool-Aid?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, so what's Santa like up in the North Pole?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
I would be afraid to meet a QAnon person because I don't think that I could be civil about it, to be honest with you, because I mean, we're not talking about a religion or anything. We're just talking about like an idea based on non-facts and just, I mean, it's almost like Scientology to me. It's like the Scientology of you know, government or even beliefs or even a group. I'm like, you know what? You're a grown ass man or woman. You can't possibly think, like, what makes you think these things? And people like that are scary because A, they believe in anything, you know what I'm saying? They don't have a mind of their own. So let's say Trump did win this election. What would that have meant? Like, oh, would it have been one of those things where it would be like, oh, we knew this was gonna happen anyway, Trump's gonna win? You know, it's like he lost and now all I'm hearing is a bunch of sore loser talk. You know what I'm saying? I'm hearing a bunch of sore loser talk. All these people expecting to be pardoned because they, oh yeah, if I do this, we'll get pardoned. I'm like, first of all, like, thank God he didn't do that. He didn't do that. But you know, the thing is, like, I don't feel. And first of all, I'm glad they're rounding up these motherfuckers. Like, if anything, they deserve to get picked up. You know, I love watching the news and being like, so-and-so who, you know, who was, you know, like I keep saying, don't film yourself committing a felony. Like, how about that? You know what I'm saying? Don't bring, and you wonder why people did that? They did that because they want to be held as martyrs. They want that attention. But I think the idea kind of backfired on them because it's like, oh, we thought we were going to, you know, we thought we were going to get pardoned. We thought we was going to get that, you know, that organic meal in prison. Like, no, that's not how that works. Okay. You committed a felony. Okay. Yeah. With the word federal in front of it. You don't get a free pass. Okay. Yeah. You do not get a free pass.
They actually thought that Trump was going to be re-sworn in on the 20th. Because Biden and everybody was going to go down, and there would never be any charges brought against him because Trump would have his own AG and he would drop all the cases. They didn't imagine that they were actually going to end up in jail.
Yeah.
And without their kosher meal.
Yeah.
Without their kosher meal. That's what the Q Shannon.
They're giving it to him, or they gave it to him.
I can't believe what I have dietary needs. Yeah. I eat organic.
Well, hope you like dick, because
it's pretty organic.
He does. From what I understand, he does. So
you can't get any organic than that, my friend.
So he might not have too much of a problem.
Yeah.
Protein and shakes.
And speaking of suppository, you could get it in either end, buddy. But yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you don't look cool with those horns anymore now, don't you?
Well, the question I have is does it add calories if you take it rectally?
I think it burns calories if you take it rectally. I think the person giving it to you.
Ask it for a friend.
It's pure sure protein.
Just asking for a friend.
I think if you're the one administering it, you're the one burning off the most calories because you're the one doing all the work.
So I posted a QAnon meme the other day that made me laugh, and somebody like commented on it that QAnon's not a real thing. It's just a bunch of people on 4chan having fun at your expense. What?
It's weird because again, like people, I mean, we've said this before, if those people were black, they'd be picking up dead bodies all over the front lawn. But I think what we just witnessed was white privilege at its finest, you know. No offense, Carrie. No offense, Todd. No offense, Marianne.
Hey, I'm not white. I'm just ashy.
I'm beyond white.
I'm so glad Jamal is in this group because we have our token black person. So
right, our quota's met.
I'll be honest with you. I'm glad you guys didn't kick me out and just started talking shit behind my back.
We wouldn't be able to do that. This is your Zoom call.
Oh, I'm glad you're so. It's like we thought about it, but here's the thing, though. In all seriousness, like, I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I've had people who have heard my podcast. I mean, I heard your podcast on Spotify, and you're so anti-white. I'm like, really? Have you seen my guests?
I don't see you as anti-white. I would never say that you were anti-white. I would say that you're anti-stupid and anti-racist.
Yes. Right. Yes.
And it's not my. It's not your fault that the stupid racist happened to be white. I mean, that's a fact.
I mean,
right?
I've had people.
And you're anti-white privilege.
Well, I'm definitely anti-white privilege. I'm so anti-white privilege. But
me
too. The thing is this: it's because we've had people. We've had like. Guests that we've had on the show, I heard some of your episodes of the show, and they love coming on. They're just like, I love coming on. I want to be able to, like, you know, state my business, state my opinions or whatever. And we let them. Here's the thing. We let people say whatever they want on this show, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, even QAnon people. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm going to make fun of you if you're QAnon because, again, that is just, again, it's the Scientology of beliefs, man, because because a lot of it, I'm like, unless you could prove it, not memes, political memes are not proof. Okay.
I still think Scientology is more dangerous than QAnon.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, you know,
but QAnon, Scientologists had longer play with it, and Scientology wasn't the one who tried to storm the Capitol and kill five people.
Sorry. No, they're more subtle than that. They're smarter than that. Even I'll say that they're smart enough to hide behind a bank of lawyers. Number one, mm-hmm. Number two, they will never ever admit to doing anything wrong, ever. So wow. You'll never see them on camera saying anything about Xenu and all that shit. Yeah. Never.
And they have more money than God.
Yes.
In the Catholic Church. Yeah.
They have more money than our God. I mean, if I had to pick and choose, I'd pick Scientology over QAnon any day. Because I think I would live longer and not drink the poisonous Kool-Aid. So if I had to choose between organizations, it would definitely be Scientology before QAnon. I would hate myself, but you know what? Yeah, it's just... But my thing is, I'll see a meme that's like anti-Biden or something stupid, and I'm just like, okay. You know, and then, of course, people will quick to tell you, well, you should have kept on scrolling. No, fuck you. You put it up there for the world to see. I saw it. I'm going to comment on it, okay? I didn't add you on Facebook. You added me. So, therefore... because I'm picky on who I let on Facebook, but hey, you added me, so here we go. But it's like whenever I challenge people, whether it's a QAnon, whether it's if I'm challenging your meme, your stupid, faceless, baseless meme, and I don't get, oh, well, here's, and then you reply with me to some, you know, garage sale media bullshit, like, oh yeah, these guys have been around for 5 months and they're no, like, first of all, that's not, you know, people want to say that the mainstream media is fake news and they're trying to control our minds. I'm like, well, okay, that's been going on for, I don't know, as long as I've been alive. You know what I'm saying? The media has always been twisting stories and twisting rhetorics. That's been going on forever. Why, you know, I had a question. Somebody had here's a prime example. Somebody posted up about their dislike for Kamala Harris, our vice president, you know, our colorful vice president, our first female, woman of color, black woman of color vice president. And when she got sworn in, my heart was like pounding. But somebody posted up something on Facebook. It was a white dude, of course, and he put up there, Kamala Harris had put away more black people, you know, in her time as a DA in California. And I responded, since when did white people give a shit on how black people were treated when it came to the judicial system? Did you give a shit before she became, you know?
That's a good question, yeah.
And I'm like, just... If you hate Kamala Harris, just say you hate her and just leave it at that. You know what I'm saying? Oh, we hate Kamala Harris because, and then, you know, he was like, oh, she's a garbage person. She slept her way to the top. Okay, first of all, welcome to America. This is a country of, I mean, look what Melania Trump did. I mean,
yeah, come on. Absolutely.
Like, right?
You can't, you're splitting hairs here. You know what I'm saying? Melania slept her way to the fucking top. But yet, and she's married to a white guy. Well, yeah, there's a thing called interracial dating or interracial marriage. That's a thing. You're allowed to do that. This guy pounded her and pounded her and pounded her. Meanwhile, I have no skin in this game. But I'm like, you know what? I'm going to defend. I'm going to sit here and I will defend Kamala Harris, because what Kamala Harris did was she told every black child, every black girl in America that, you don't have to, you can be this too.
Yeah.
That's what she did. She told every black kid who was watching the inauguration, you know, who's going through hard times, that if you stick to your guns and you stick to what you believe in and you go to school or do whatever, you can be at this position too. It doesn't just have to stop with me. I mean, you look through a list of vice presidents. They're all your shade, Terry. I mean, come on.
Well, we've had one. We've had one that was American Indian. There's been a big story about him, but I can't think of his name now. But he was Hoover's vice president.
Okay, I'll have to look that up. I did not even know that.
Yeah, I saw that on CNN the other night. They were talking about it. They were saying that.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, it was. Okay.
But it is really, like you're talking about that, how important is representation? You know, because Kamala, it's amazing. Yes, it's so amazing that for a person of color, she's representing. However, she's also representing almost half of America as a female.
Yes.
And, you know, it's something that it's so important because as a female, you're seeing a strong female character that's in that position. You're not just looking at her as somebody who is a person of color. And quite frankly, if there's somebody who is racist and they go, well, if she can do it, so can I, you know, because, you know, I'm better than anybody, POC, you know, those racist people. You know what? She's representing them too. Like it or not, she represents all the females. And that is so important.
Yeah, she's representing, I mean, she's representing what America, what a woman can do in America, a woman of color can do in America, you know?
Yeah, so any woman.
Yeah, so the way that I look at it, it's why are you bashing her? And why are you calling and why are you calling her a garbage person? And again, a white dude, stop pretending that you give a shit because again, this is where I get really off the rails here. You don't. I'm sorry. Like I'm just what our plights and our struggles, you're going to go to bed at night and you're going to wake up the next morning next to your wife and your kid and you're going it's going to be business as usual, but you could give two shits about any black person that is incarcerated or any black person that gets shot in the street by the police. You don't care about that because why? It doesn't affect your money. It doesn't affect your bottom line. It doesn't affect you being homeless. It has no effect on you. So of course it's going to gloss over. You know what I'm saying? But meanwhile, when I see this stuff on CNN, on NBC, and MSNBC, on all the platforms, and you know, I do feel for my people. You know what I'm saying? Like I do feel. I was going to say our
people. They're my people too.
But no, I do.
By proxy.
I do feel, you know, for you know, Black Americans because of how we are treated in the United States. And you know, people will tell me things like, oh, I think you're overreacting. So I'm the crazy one. You know, I'm the crazy one because I'm not putting blindfolders on. I'm the crazy one because, you know, rather than look at, because here's the thing, whenever somebody does get shot, what I find people do, and Candace Owens is very, very guilty of this, is they go check out their criminal records first so they can say, oh, this was justified because of something that somebody did 6 months ago. And I've said this once on this podcast, and I'll say it 1,000 times. You cannot skip due process and go straight to the execution. You can't skip due process and go straight to judgment. Okay? And again, whether it's a white person, black person, a child, you can't do that. You know what I'm saying? And to all my Republican friends who are just like, I'm going crazy, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I've always been talking about. And yes, do I think some of your logic is far-fetched? Very much so. Because again, you're not a black person. You don't know what it's like to be a black person in America. So as far as you're concerned, you look at the newspaper, see another black person shot dead in the street. You think to yourself, oh, well, it's a Tuesday. For me, it's like, not again. You know? Yeah. You know, again, really?
It's the same thing. It's that same thing of, oh, a woman got raped. Well, what was she wearing?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that should never be the first. First of all, if that's the first question you ask, you should get a brick thrown at your face.
Okay? Exactly. And that's the shit though. It's just because we're so geared to not holding the perpetrator culpable for the things that they're doing. Why are we doing that? Why are we saying, instead of asking why is this horrible human being allowed to keep doing things like this over and over again? That's how we get our Dahmers and how we get our Bundys and how we get our, you know, insert all these crazy fucking serial killers here, because these, how many of them, you know, like, let's be honest, don't see too many serial killers that aren't white.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. who were, yeah. I mean, and mind you, they were raised with great families too before they, you know, decided to, before they're like, huh, what happens if I just stab somebody through the rib cage?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm aroused. I like
it. Does this hurt you? Tell me.
I wonder what this liver tastes like.
There's a Family Guy episode where like Peter Griffin and like his neighbors, they end up going to jail, and like his neighbor who's a cop on a wheelchair, he sees one of the guys he put away, and he's like, oh my god, he's like one of the baddest dudes I put away. And then like you fast forward to the end of the episode, he's planning on killing them in their cells, but they ended up getting bailed out, and he's about to go into the cell, and he sees that it's empty. And he sits down on like this bench, and he takes out the shank and he stabs himself a little bit. He's like, oh shit. He's like, oh, this is what I've been doing to people. He's like, oh man, I belong here.
Love Family Guy.
Yeah, we've been watching a lot of Family Guy ourselves. So it shows our level. This is the things that bind us, you know, that bring us together. Yeah.
Well,
so it is. We are getting ready to wrap up. We only got a couple of minutes left, so
yeah.
Any last thoughts for the show?
How about we let Terry? First of all, Terry, thank you for doing this again.
Sure, thanks for having me.
You, we love having you. Like it was great having you again, and I always like hearing your insight. And you always, you're a very bright guy. Do you have any last, some last words that you want to bestow on, you know, words of wisdom?
I'm just excited to see where we go in the next 100 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
I
have one last question for Terry. When you did get the shot, was it in the arm? Was it in, where was it?
It was in my arm. Yeah. And believe me, we get the flu shot every year, like I was saying before. And your arm always is a little sore from that one too. Very sore this time from the shot. I don't know what the difference is. Why it would be, it would make it more sore, but
did you get your second dose yet, or when did you get that?
It'd be the about the 12th of February, I believe, is when we're supposed to get that.
Okay, 30 days.
Okay, yeah.
30 days. Yeah.
So, and then somebody's coming out with one. Is it Johnson & Johnson is coming out with the one that's only a one shot?
Yeah.
And they're waiting for their emergency approval.
Yep. They're expecting that. Any time now. Yeah. So we should be seeing that. So, and I don't know if maybe with the reason why it's so painful is because they had to have it at that sub-zero temperature.
That's the only thing I could think about. You know, at the injection time, you know, when it went in, you know, it didn't feel any different. It was much sore a day or two later, you know, so. I was kind of curious how it was going to feel when the medicine went in because of it being so cold, but tell anything.
And do they actually, when they give you the shot, did it actually come straight out of that deep freezer where it was still at that temperature, or did it get to?
I don't have any idea. I don't know. I didn't pay any attention the way they had us set up. I didn't notice. And in fact, I didn't even see the guy take it out of the vial, you know?
Wow.
So plus that's just a thing that has always bugged me. I can't watch getting a shot. I can't even watch it on TV.
Oh, wow.
It just sends me down my back. So
I don't like needles either. So it's like,
yeah, but, anyway,
you'll have to keep us posted on how the next shot goes and let us know how it feels. And this time maybe find out if they asked them, did they bring it straight out of the freezer or did they warm it up first?
I'll ask that this time. That'd be a good question.
Okay. And fill us in. Let us know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I definitely would like to know how, because, you know,
Well, people... and some of what I've been hearing is that the second shot is, it actually makes your arm more sore. So I'm
You might have to take a couple days off from work, maybe.
Now, I don't know. It was interesting. You know, they offered you Tylenol right then. To take with you if you felt like you needed it, which we keep it at the office, so I didn't. But you can't leave for 15 minutes after they've given you the shot. Right. They observe you for 15 minutes.
So maybe next time, be like about 2 hours before you get the shot, take your Tylenol.
That's a good idea.
That's what they tell you that when you go to get a Brazilian to make it hurt less, take your Tylenol a couple hours before they go rip all the hairs out by the roots.
Oh,
yeah. I'll remember that for the next time I get one of those.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought she was talking about a man or something, a Brazilian.
But it's the same philosophy. It's the same thought process that, you know, you get that Tylenol first, so it doesn't hurt as bad. So.
Okay. That's a good idea.
Brazilian man.
One more note before we leave. Just wrapped up the Tampa Bay Packers game. Do you guys care who's going to the Super Bowl?
Yes. Packers?
Well, we just found out that Tom Brady's making another trip to the Super Bowl. He just beat the Packers by 4 points, 31-26. I mean, 5 points, 31. I know.
Yay!
okay. So hopefully Patrick Mahomes will beat him in the Super Bowl.
Well, I'm going to go watch the Bills hopefully stomp Kansas City. So,
oh, wow, okay. So, yeah.
I would like to see the Bills go, somebody a little bit different. And fucking Brady. God.
Has anyone else been watching WandaVision on Disney Plus?
No.
I'll be honest with you. I don't even think I could.
It's people are complaining that it's kind of lame, but I what they're doing that I think people are complaining about is that the first few episodes are kind of styled after classic sitcoms. So like the first episode is like the Dick Van Dyke Show, and the second show is like Bewitched, and then I think the third one was supposed to be like the Brady Bunch, because the house even looked similar. Okay. I mean, there were some elements that were very Brady-like in that episode. Oh, and it's slow moving as far as what's going on. They don't really know why these things are happening just yet. They kind of gave you a peek behind the curtain towards the end of the third episode, so it's starting to get interesting.
I might have to watch it. Because I thought it looked kind of good, so. We'll see.
Well, I just kept my free week of Disney Plus so I could just watch the whole season of Mandalorian. So then I let it go, and then when it comes back on, I'll go get a free week again and catch up on it.
It's so good.
Dude, just pay the $7 for a month, dude. It's worth it.
Yeah.
Seriously.
It's so good. Well, yeah. Netflix, by the way, just said that they are now increasing their rates to $17.99 a month.
Yeah. I just got that email and I just read it while we were on the air. And I was like, well, mine is going to be up to $13. So I'm just like, okay, that's fine. Looks like, okay. And again, this is just in. Five people, including a pregnant woman, killed in a mass shooting in Indianapolis.
Oh, wow.
What?
And, yeah, so five people are dead following a mass shooting in Indianapolis Saturday morning. This morning, one of the people killed was a pregnant. The unborn child was also killed. A boy who suffered a gunshot wound was taken to the nearby hospital and is expected to survive, police say. Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department Chief Randall Taylor called the incident the city's largest mass casualty shooting in over a decade. The police received a 911 call before 4 a.m. and discovered a boy at the 3,300 block of East 36th Street who was shot, according to the police. Officers then went to the 3,500 block of Adam Street and found five people dead inside a house, according to the police. This does not appear to be a random act. Sergeant Shane Foley said at the news conference Sunday afternoon, no suspects have been identified as of 4 p.m. The detectives continue to comb the scene for clues. Indianapolis Mayor Joe Hogsett was emotional during the news conference and said that he has called the U.S. Attorney Office and the FBI to assist with the investigation. I want those people responsible to know that the full might of the local, state, and federal enforcement is coming as I speak. Hogsett also said, coming for them today, coming for them tonight, coming for them tomorrow, coming for them as long as it takes. So that's been that's new in the news.
Holy shit, dude.
Well, God, you know, it's going to be Biden's fault somehow.
Oh, no, I'm sure they'll put it on Biden. They'll just be like, you know, that's what you get for holding out on our stimulus package. I'm most likely going to be looking more into this. I mean, it's sad, you know, things like this happening. I'm pretty sure that when things develop, we'll see this on like a news outlet or like Good Morning America might cover it or something like that. But hopefully, hopefully those responsible will be caught. And I hate to end the show on a downer, but unfortunately, I will say this, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the end of our podcast. We do appreciate all of our listeners. We're here every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. And do the math depending on where you live, on what time we're on. But this has been It's Not About You with Jamal and Marianne, and with our good tech guy. His name is Todd Sellers, cousin Todd, and our great guest that we love having, Terry Simmons. We hope we'll get you guys again. Thank you for listening. We are sounding off now.